My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you, Brother Kinsey, and thank you, wonderful people. I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said, "I'm never so happy as when I am in the free flow of affection among friends." And I feel that way among you people here, and I always have. I'm extremely proud of you because I can tell through the years you have been lifted to a higher level of understanding and application of the power of God that is in you. It was marvelous watching you minister to each other here on Friday night. Just tremendous, because you really do have it. You really do have it. And that habit is Jesus. It is a high regard and a pleasure to work with Brother Joe Campitella. I have known him for a long time. He has my highest esteem and regard because he is a genuine Christian and he's powerfully anointed. When preachers call me and want me to come to some meeting or something and I can't go, I give them some advice. I say, "Well, get Joe Campitella. He's just another me," type thing. He is. And I thank God for that. This is not a lengthy message today, but it is something I want to talk to you about. It's something that I've got a hold of, and it's been a tremendous inspiration to me, and I trust it will be to you. Only one verse of Scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Here, the Bible says in Romans 8:26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Notice the word "Spirit" in both cases is capitalized. "Likewise, God helpeth our infirmities, but God himself maketh intercession for us," is what we're reading here about. How many of you, to your knowledge, have some kind of an infirmity in your body of one kind or another? Lift your right hand. How many of you would like to be healed of that infirmity? Then you will be today. Jesus. I worship you. I simply want to entitle this, "Our Infirmities Healed." With energy and strength and renewness of the touch of God from last night again, let's just clap one more time and just sort of shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph and joy and exultation and thanksgiving, because he is faithful that promised. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. It occurred to me several months ago that there are things that have happened in my life that I've never really talked about. So I thought I should tell some of these things because I really believe that you can do what I'm doing because you're a believer as I am a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And I think as long as we're in this, we might as well get the most out of it we can possibly get. I'm at the state of mind, I'm going to explore every little thing. I'm going to get involved with the Spirit of God and the workings of the Lord. And if people like it, that's fine. And if they don't, it's still fine. I'm going to do it for Jesus. Doesn't matter what people think or say or do. It really doesn't. So, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, October 6, 1963. And I went right away off to Bible College at Apostolic Bible Institute in St. Paul, Minnesota. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, there was an Episcopalian bishop who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, and he was so excited about it and so enamored with it that he wrote about it, and it inspired many, many people. And so what happened was, as a result of that, and it kept growing, the Holy Ghost baptism fell in the Baptist church, the Lutheran church. The Catholics were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It spread all over the country. There was a big article in Life magazine at that time. I still have the photographs with people with their hands in the air worshiping God. It was just amazing. It spread across the entire United States. And it caused no small stir in all circles. So much so that the United States government donated thousands of dollars to conduct a study on this business of speaking with tongues. They called it glossolalia. I was in Apostolic Bible College at that time. And it was in the news. It was just everywhere. McAllister University in St. Paul, Minneapolis area received grants from our government for this study and to conduct this study. And so, Midway Tabernacle and ABI, they were known in that area and had been for many years as people who spoke with tongues. So McAllister University sent a study group to Midway Tabernacle and Apostolic Bible Institute to observe us. Brother Norris, the president of the Bible school, appointed me as a liaison between that study group and Midway Tabernacle and the school. It was very interesting. There were two professors, Dr. Gerlach and Dr. Holstein. They came along with the research team to our services at Midway Tabernacle and to the Bible College. It was very interesting because the moment they got involved with us, the services were quite different in the church and in the school because we had all of these students from McAllister University coming. And they were salt and peppered throughout the whole audience, not in a group, but just all over the place. And they were all carrying little recorders with microphones. So when anyone spoke with tongues, there was a message in tongues, they had these mics in the air trying to catch it, trying to record us speaking with tongues. So the services were interesting. They were very interesting. And they did get recordings of us speaking with tongues. Well, they sent the recordings of us speaking with tongues to special speech analysts and that type of thing to somehow try to decipher or understand more about speaking with tongues. And they found out that in this speaking with tongues they had recorded, There was a language rhythm. There was repetition of syllables. There were different tones that are normally found in languages, but they could not tell what language it was. The Bible says, though you speak with the tongues of men or angels. So they could not figure out what was going on. So they finally decided that speaking with tongues among us was a kind of hypnotism by the power of group influence. Great group influence. Group influence. People getting together. They said, you all get to the altar together and you get to praying and weeping and you have these ecstatic utterances. So we feel it's a kind of hypnosis that you get into. So they sent an actual hypnotist with this research team to ABI. And I was there to watch. This hypnotist came to hypnotize the entire group. He looked the part. He had a dark green suit, a dark green vest, a tie to match. He had a shock of sandy reddish hair, a little goatee and a mustache and horn-rimmed glasses. He looked the part. He really did. I'm at the table about halfway down this way. Dr. Gerlach and Dr. Holstein, the professors, are here, and the hypnotist is at this end of the table. And he explained, I feel like this is some kind of a group hypnosis that you get involved with. And he said, I'm going to hypnotize all of you. He said, I want all of you to relax, so I stiffened. He said, I want you to uncross your ankles. So I crossed mine. Everything he said to do, I did the opposite. And he went through his little incantations, and he actually did hypnotize them. And I watched it. It was very interesting because even the professors were acting like anything but professors. People, their heads were rolling around, their hands were sort of flying in the air, and they were doing all these different things. And I was watching all of these people under this state of hypnosis. So it was very interesting. But then after several minutes, he brought them out of the hypnosis state. At that point, Dr. Gerlach looked across him and he said, well, Reverend, what do you think? I said, well, I have this to say. He did hypnotize you folks, but I also noticed he had to bring them out of it. If I indeed have been hypnotized, no one has ever been able to break the spell. Dr. Gerlach looked across the table from me and he said, you always seem to have the answers. I said, yes, sir. And I smiled. People, I think it's absurd, really, that people make fun of us. Have you ever watched what they do on the streets? I mean, really, give me a break. Look how people dress. You can't tell what's what and who's who anymore. And evidently, they don't look in mirrors. Maybe they don't have mirrors. I don't know how. They go out on the streets like they go out. We're not the weird ones. We're the people that have it together. Among us, you can tell who's who and what's what. And if they can shout and dance out there, at bars and discos and for this and for that. My God in heaven, how much more should we do what we do in the house of God? Because we were lost, but now we are found. We are on our way to heaven. Eternal life is inside of us. That's worth shouting about. That's worth dancing about. That's worth leaping about. That's worth running about. Clap your hands again, all ye people, and shout, just shout unto the Lord, because God is in this place. Jesus is in this house, and because he is here, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. I can tell he's got it. That man's got it right there. That man running has got it. We've all got it. So just for a moment, do something with what you got. Jesus, I worship you because you are God. Oh. Dr. Gerlach and Dr. Holstein came to one of our evening services at Midway Tabernacle. I spotted them at the back of the audience near the wall. So I walked back to them and invited them to come down to the altar and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It had no small effect. I said, you need to come and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then your study will be over. You'll have all the answers. And you'll know what you're looking for. I reached out like this, and they backed off. And they left the service. I never saw them again. They left. I had one woman through the years come up to me, and she said, she said, I want what you've got. I was right in the middle of an altar service, and the Holy Ghost was on me. I just threw my hands there and said, here it comes. She fell backwards, speaking with tongues on the floor. People, we really do got it. We really have the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power in our lives. Another person just criticized me terribly for how we acted. I started laughing. I said, lady, when you get what we've got, you'll act just like us. She said, oh, no. I said, oh, yes. She kept coming back. Guess what? She got it. Guess what else? She acts just like us. Because you can't stop it. It's like a fire shut up in your bones. It's not a think-so religion. It's an experience. It's the fire of God. It's the reality of God. It's the living Christ inside of us. In Albany, New York area, where I've lived since 1968. Back in the early 1970s, there was a Father Bertolucci who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the living room of an older minister's wife in his house. In the living room of this older couple's home, this Roman Catholic priest received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. And he got involved with the gifts of healing and began to pray for other Catholics in the whole Catholic diocese in Albany. And people were being healed, so much so it shook up the Albany diocese. And they moved him out of our area, sent him out to the Midwest to get him away from us. Well, you can move them any place you want, but you can't take what they've got inside out. You can't get rid of that. They can't get rid of it. And where he went, He began to pray people through the Holy Ghost out there, and they began to get healed all over the place. They finally sent him to Rome to get rid of him. But the Holy Ghost broke out in Rome. At one time, there were 7,000 Roman Catholics in the Albany area that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I reiterate, it reached Rome. They called it the Catholic Renewal. There were 5 churches in the Hudson Valley area when I first went there that Brother Hanby had started. And I went there to help evangelize those churches for him and also ended up pastoring the one in Schenectady, New York. During that time, there were some interesting things that happened. In the church in Rensselaer, New York, across the river, we had a church there. One Sunday night, there were 3 Catholic nuns that walked into the service. And we had a wonderful service. It really was wonderful. The demonstration of God was there. The power of God was in that place. At the end of the service, I'll never forget this, those 3 nuns walked up to us and they said, every day we pray before a dead Christ on a crucifix, but to you, he's alive, isn't he? Yes. Because the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, but he is alive inside of us. Those nuns talked to their priest, and he called and wanted to have an interview with me, and I said, fine. So we got together. He really wasn't interested in anything much I had to say. I tried to be very kind and polite and tell him, you know, about the worship and how wonderful it was and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't interested. And finally he said, you're just one of our wayward brethren. He said, you just are one of our wayward children. I said, no, we aren't. He said, yes, you're just one of our, like the Baptists, the Lutherans. He said, you're just part of our wayward children, but you still belong to the Catholic Church. I said, no, we don't. He said, well, how do you baptize? I said, we baptize by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, well, then you didn't come out of us. I said, no, you came out of us. And they did. The Roman Catholic Church can only trace its roots back to about 100 AD. They cannot span the gap between 100 AD and 33 AD because there's no connecting points. We are the only people on planet Earth that can go all the way back to an upper room to 33 AD and hear the sound of the rushing mighty wind and the crackle of cloven tongues of fire, because we've got exactly what the first Papatakashototokashaya. We've got the pain Papakashotoya. We've got the same Holy Ghost that fell in 33 AD. Peter had it. Paul had it. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had it. Oh, clap your hands, apostolic. Oh, shout, apostolic. Oh, I was witnessing to one Catholic priest one day on the street. It was when I was in ABI, waiting for a bus to go to work, and he was going to some parish or something. And he was a young priest, but not real young, but he was a younger man. And I was witnessing to him on the street corner, and again, he wasn't really interested. But I said to him, he had a Bible, and I said, may I see your Bible? He said, yes. I said, you are a Roman Catholic. He said, yes. I said, are you a good Roman Catholic? He said, yes, of course. I said, and Peter was your first pope, is that correct? He said, yes. I said, are you absolutely sure about that? He said, positively. So you're telling me that Peter was the first pope of the Roman Catholic Church? He said, no doubt about it. I said, you're positive? He said, yes. I said, let me see your Bible. I opened it to Acts chapter 2. Verse 38. And I said, then Peter, your first pope, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, now, that's what your first pope preached. Where'd you people get off the track? He said, I don't know. I said, you better find out. They better find out, people, because this is that. As I said before, there's not another that to go to. When you come to this, this is the end of the line. So get in it, shout it, dance it, preach it, tell it, live it. You've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. And in so doing, you will convert those around you. Because what this world is looking for right now, they are sick of religion. They are sick of religion. But what they have not seen is the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. People being healed, throwing down crutches, getting out of wheelchairs, receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, coming out of water, baptized in Jesus' name, being delivered from demonic forces that they have not seen. But we've got that. That's what is our heritage. This is our heritage. This is who we are. It should be happening every time you come to this church service. Every time you come to church, there should be a miracle. There should be a healing. There should be a deliverance. There should be somebody converted. Something should happen every time you come to the house of God, because this is where the action is. This is where the fire is. This is where the wind is. This is where the truth is. This is that. This is that. This is that. Clap again, all ye people everywhere, every man, every woman, with thanksgiving. Clap with thanksgiving.
If you study church history, and I have extensively, what the Catholic Church cannot fight, they embrace, and then slowly bring it back around into Catholicism. I said to one Catholic, I said, you're not a Catholic. I'm the real Catholic. I'm the real one. Catholic means universal. I'm Catholic. You're not Catholic. I said to Baptist once, they said, you're not a Baptist, I'm the real one. We baptize correctly, you don't. I said to a Methodist once, you're not the real Methodist, we are the real Methodist. Because Methodists, they were called Methodists because they practiced holiness methodically, is what they did. That's why they were called Methodist. They're not Methodist, we're the real Methodist. We're the real everything, people. We are the real everything. And if you get a hold of that and you're thinking, you will act differently. You will carry your head differently. You will be, you feel like walking down the street and shouting, yes, I'm one of them. 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 I am baptized in Jesus' name. I do speak with tongues. We do lay hands on and people are healed. We do get delivered in our church services. We are emotional because he's alive and he has given life to us. For example, I reiterate, but the Catholic Church cannot fight. It embraces and then they slowly bring it back around into Catholicism. Classic example, when the Roman Catholic Church wanted to Christianize the American Indians in the Southwest, this is what they did. They sent their priest in among the Indians and preached the Roman Catholic Christian doctrine to them. And some of the Indians came across and tried to embrace what they were saying. But the one thing that those Indians would not do, they wore these necklaces, leather thong or whatever, But it had bird feathers on it and bear claws and things like that, relics that they endeared themselves to, connected to their worship practices. And the Roman Catholic Church tried to get them to take those necklaces off, and they would not do it. So all the Catholic Church did then was to add a cross to it. Classic example, but they can't fight, they embrace, and then they turn it around back to themselves. But no Catholic has ever talked me out of this. But I've talked many of them into this. Just before the coming of the Lord, you're going to see the greatest demonstration of the Spirit of God in power the world has ever seen. How do I know that? The Bible says the latter rain is seven times greater than the early rain. It is seven times greater than the latter rains. We're living in the latter rain now. We're in it. Thousands are receiving the Holy Ghost all over the world. Thousands of people. They now say, there's an estimate now, there's over 1 billion people in the world that now have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh! I'm here to tell you today, if God pours out upon this world, and the Bible says he's going to, what's upon us in this place, there will be dancing in the streets, there will be shouting in the marketplaces, there will be there will be a move of God that nothing can stop. You read the book of Acts. If the latter rain is seven times greater than the early rain, then we can expect to see before the coming of the Lord everything you read about in the book of Acts reenacted, but it will be seven times greater than anything you read about there. There will be Phillips among us caught away. There will be all kinds of things happen. There'll be miracles in the street. Legs will grow. Eyes will see. Deaf ears will hear. It'll be on the streets, people. It's been behind these four walls too long. It's time to get it into the streets. It's time to take it to the streets. It's time to give it to them out there, and they want it, and they will want it. There is unlimited potential in this room right here. There is unlimited potential in this room. This thing was not done in a corner, and it's not going to end in a corner. It won't. And this is where I really wanted to get to today. There is a man called Dr. Andrew Newberg. He's a medical doctor. He is a psychologist and he's a radiologist. He studies how the brain works. He does it through what they call SPECT scans. He studies what happens to the human brain when they are speaking with tongues. He's become very interested in this. In his studies, this is what he says. He says that when you speak with tongues, the language center of your brain is not working. He says the part of your brain that controls the action of your tongue and vocal cords is not active when you're speaking with tongues. But the part of your brain that is active is your sensory perception. And every nerve on the surface of the skin has been touched all at the same time. In other words, God wraps himself around you totally. And he says, you are speaking through an influence that is not you. That's why we say we're being moved on by God. I repeat, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. They now know that when speaking with tongues in intercessory prayer, your DNA is altered in your body by sounds and vibration.
they have discovered that the vibration of middle C makes DNA whole in your body. Speaking with tongues and intercessory prayer is God's way of healing you by taking the sounds of your words and vibrations to any part of your body that needs to be healed. In other words, the Spirit is actually speaking through me, and it knows what needs to be healed in my body. God is in me. That's God's way of healing us from any infirmity we may have. So what I want you to do right now, if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, I want you to lift your hands, close your eyes, and let the Holy Ghost begin to speak through you. And when he does, infirmities will disappear all over this audience. That's it. Miracles are happening right now. Infirmities are leaving your body. Infirmities are leaving your body. On this platform right here. That's it, Jeremy. That's it. Such as I have. If you feel an infirmity has left your body, if you know it, stand to your feet and keep on speaking with tongues. The Spirit knoweth how to pray. The Spirit knoweth how to pray. Now, let a voice of praise come out of your lips for what he has just done for you. That's it. Miraculous. The miraculous is in this place. Infirmity disappearing. Never to be the same again. Miraculous. What is in this place? I think it'd be a wonderful thing if we just all stood. And people, with the anointing that is on you, there is a glorious anointing upon you. There's a refreshing in this house. I want you to get a hold of somebody and begin to pray. You may have to go over a pew. You may have to cross the aisle. But get a hold of somebody, because the anointing that is on you wants to reach to others. And when you do, the power that's on you will go to them and strengthen them. Virtue. Hohokoshataka, by the authority of the word of God, by the power of what has just been preached, I rejoice and command all infirmities to have left these people, to have left this youth, to have left this adulthood, the aged, the grandmothers and grandfathers among us. Oh Lord Jesus, Hotokoshataka, you are the healer, the dear and glorious physician. Hutukoshatavaraka, by your stripes we are healed. Wapakato koshatakaya. Handale haro hadeshataya varaka. Uhoshatoto kashatate kishataka. Undota katavaraka shatakataka. Vahado hateko shataya. Uhota karashataya. The Holy Ghost is pulling at many of you. If your infirmity has been released from you and you know it, I want you to come to the front and just stand here and lift your hands, because in so doing, you are telling the world, this Jesus is real. I have been healed. My infirmities are gone. That's what it's all about, people. We must confess him before men. Confess him before men by actions, by word, by deed. Jesus, that's it. Keep on coming. Just keep on coming. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. What the Holy Ghost is doing in this place here today, in the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.